Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400 plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media and recorded weekly on Facebook. Reconciled to you on Facebook. Today, no guest, just me. I guess, relaunching a few weeks ago, I just wanted to spend a little time, Stu and I, just chatting about our faith. I guess I don't want the podcast to always look like I'm trying to sell something. I'm just really trying to sell you Jesus. That's the plan. Sell you Jesus. So no books today, no guests. They'll be back, I hope, next week. Be reaching out to a few of my amazing author friends. But I guess it's been a while since I've actually done a teaching, kind of spoken about why I'm Catholic, why this became my life. This whole Catholic ministry world became a part of who I am. If you're new to Reconcile to You, welcome. If you're new to a Seeking Heart podcast, welcome as well. I was I was born Catholic, and I went off and on, you know, during my life. Kind of came back more when I got married in the 1990s. That seems like a million years ago. But I was still kind of on the... Like, I was just going kind of for perfect attendance because I wanted, you know, a get out of hell free card, I suppose. If, you know, when I die and I got to the pearly gates, if, you know, if attendance was important, I guess I wanted that. But I didn't know what else the Catholic Church had to offer. I didn't know kind of what I was signing up for or my parents had signed me up for. And it was the invitation of a really sweet lady, a woman my age, at the parish who invited me to a book club Bible study. And I know I've told that story a million times. And I was like, oh, you know, it was really apprehensive. I'm like, I don't read the Bible. I don't think Catholics are supposed to. I didn't do any spiritual reading. It was really just my faith was really just that 45 minutes on Sunday. And most of that time, quite honestly, was spent thinking about what I do when I was done with Mass. I'd grab the bulletin on the way in, and, you know, during the readings, I read the bulletin, and then during the homily, I would be making a to-do list for the week, you know, what my grocery list, what I had to do, my calendar, and then I would leave Mass and literally say to people, I don't get anything out of church, except for organizing my life, but that's not what that's for. It's not at all what God wanted me to get out of that hour, 45 minutes, whatever, in Mass. He wanted me to come away knowing Him better. This was my time to be in communion with Jesus, to be able to receive His body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, to have an experience of my foretaste of heaven, because wherever Jesus is, heaven is there as well. And I didn't even know that the Eucharist was the real presence of Jesus. I believed it was a symbol. There was a lot about my faith I didn't know. And it was really thanks to that sweet friend and her invitation that I started to want to know more about the Catholic faith and started to study, started to read reading the scriptures, which was mind-blowing, life-altering, just starting to hear how God spoke. And then when my scriptures weren't open, I still heard God in my heart, in my soul, because in my mind, because I knew how he spoke. I knew how he spoke to me and the things he wanted me to know and the way that he taught and the way that he loved and how faithful and trustworthy and all those things that I wanted in my life, didn't know I wanted them from God. And boy, did he have them for me in abundance. And so that became kind of like the catalyst, was the spiritual reading, the starting to pay attention in Mass more. Opened up my catechism of the Catholic Church, hadn't ever read that, didn't even know it existed. A friend of mine who had converted, I think she was Lutheran and came to the Catholic faith, had been given one for her baptism, confirmation, first communion, kind of Easter welcoming into the church. And she had read it from cover to cover. And when I, you know, when she talked about this book, I thought, this looks like something I need to read, something that will teach me. And it has, and I'm still discovering it. I'm still reading it, still trying to figure out all there is in this beautiful faith to know about. And so I guess, you know, as we're going through different books, different people I want to share with you, their stories, their books, the different things that the faith has to offer, I also want to spend time every once in a while kind of just looking at what the faith has to offer. And I guess in today's first installment of that type of series, I'm going to start kind of what I talk about all the time, is the grace trifecta. Grace is clearly very important to us in growing in our faith, because we know that Mary, the Mother of God, the Blessed Mother, was filled with grace. So there must be something about grace that's important, right? That makes sense to me. So grace is the undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within us. And I'll talk more about grace, all the different kinds of grace maybe the next one. I'll put a little note here, talk about grace next time. But today I want to talk about ways that we get grace and how this can help us grow in our faith, to grow closer to God, to grow closer to Jesus. We are called to relationship with Jesus. I never knew that. I didn't know I could have a personal relationship with Jesus as a Catholic, but I am, because I'm Christian. I am of Christ, and I can have this personal relationship with him. He wants to be part of my everyday, ordinary life. So how do I let him in? How do I communicate and connect with him? And I think it's very simple. After studying the faith for 15 years, I've kind of broken it down to three ways, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Participating in prayer, sacrament, and scripture as often as we can will fill our lives with grace. These are ways to tap into the grace well that God has abundantly available for us. In prayer, it's just a matter of speaking, communicating, raising our hearts and minds, as the Catechism teaches, to God, to Christ. You know, and we have a whole plethora of people we can pray to. We can obviously pray to Jesus, speak with Jesus, pray to our Father in heaven. We have the Blessed Mother, who's our greatest intercessor. We have all the saints in heaven. And you know, that for me was first a little confusing too. Like, how am I praying to them to do something? Well, I'm just praying with the saints to help me perfect my prayer and bring it to the one, of course, who can do something. And that would be God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God. I love that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He takes the groanings of our hearts, St. Paul tells us, and brings those to God, perfects our prayers and brings them to God, because we don't often know how to pray. I mean, I know I've been in many situations where I don't know how to pray for what's happening. I don't know what God's will is, and I want to follow God's will, but I also, as a human, want like things to go my way. That is definitely one of my problems, my way, the highway. Lord, you know, I can find myself praying, you know, thy will be done as long as it agrees with my will. And yeah, I'm sure God laughs at that one. He's not like he didn't see a comment or anything. He knew. And again, prayer can come in so many different forms. I love that we're all made in God's likeness and image, yet we're all very different people. And God knows that we need all these different ways to be communicated with, to be connected to Him through. So there's contemplative prayer, there's meditative prayer, there's the rosary, there's prayer books, gazillion prayer books. There are novenas. There are so many beautiful, amazing ways to pray. And none of them are wrong. And none of them have to be what you do every day. You don't have to have the whole list and do all of them. Variety is the spice of life. So whatever season you're in, pick that one. Find one that speaks to your heart. You know, sometimes there's things going on in a novena. It just makes sense. Novena is 9 days of prayer to a specific saint for a specific cause, problem, issue, however you want to say it. Right now, the Holy Spirit novena, if you're listening to this on May 13th or 14th of 2021, the Holy Spirit novena, the 9 days to Pentecost, starts tomorrow, Friday. That's a powerful one. I pray that one every year. I try to pray. I like to have a novena going because there's always somebody or something to pray about. And I happen to like those. I usually sign up for Pray More Novenas because the email shows up at my mailbox every morning and reminds me, because one of the worst things for me is to remember what day I'm on in a novena and when to pray and which one I'm praying. So I love that Pray More Novenas just has the email come to me. You can set a reminder on your calendar. I've done that as well. So there's many different ways to pray, and there are many books on prayer. The Catechism, the last section of the Catechism, is all about Christian prayer. It's fantastic, by the way. I highly recommend it. If you're not sure how to pray, there are ways to learn, and there's so many different ways to pray. The only wrong way to pray is not to pray at all. Huh. Okay, that was so astute, wasn't it? But don't be afraid to pray. Don't think you're going to do it wrong. And don't be afraid of the answers. They're, quite honestly, probably not going to be what you're expecting most of the time. But remember that God knows what is best for you, what you were created for. He sees everything. And so the answers to our prayer are always ordered for our good, our ultimate good, which of course is to be with Him in heaven, which is super easy for me to say when, you know, He's answering my prayers the way I want, or that I'm comfortable with the answers that He gets. But there's been plenty of time in my own life where God's answers have not been exactly what I had hoped for. One example: in 2015, Kevin and I were super struggling financially. It was scary. And I remember praying for a windfall, like, Lord, just fix this problem. And He said two things to my heart that I knew were from Him, because I wouldn't have put these caveats on fixing the problem. One, I had to own up to Kevin to all of the debt I had been hiding from Him. And the next thing that came right after I did finally, you know, Facebook message Kevin at work. Yes, I did that. What, you know, the truth and what was happening, what the number was for real. I figured it was a good way for him not to freak out. And then it gave him a whole 20-minute ride home to kind of calm down, to have that conversation. I felt awful after being married for that, like, for that point. It was 25 years to have lied to him and to hid this. But part of it was part of my own. A lot of it had started when I was young. I mean, I have a million excuses for it, but I really did struggle with some difficult things in my past, in my childhood, and I was using shopping to kind of deal with it instead of actually dealing with it. But he understood that. So we worked all that out, and then I thought the Lord would just, you know, send some lottery ticket. But instead, He sent me a program on managing your money God's way. And I've talked about it. It's on the blog, my whole journey with that beautiful program. I'll put the link in the notes, where Kevin and I learned how to budget, how to plan, how to snowball and get out of debt, and he even sent some friends to do it along with us. And it was beautiful. And here we are 6 years later. And just a few months ago, I looked at the bank account at the end of the month. It wasn't overnight. It has been a long learning process, a lot of starts and stops and successes and failures, but it really been quite an adventure, and it is working. We are figuring out how to get out of debt and to live as responsible fiscal human beings after being married for now 31 years. The other day, I looked at the bank account at the end of the month, and I thought for sure I'd forgotten to pay our mortgage, because never in our married life has there been anything left at the end of the month. Yes, it's that bad. It's always to the penny, and it's for many years it was beyond that. It was borrowing to pay our monthly bills, but it was just so funny to get to the end of the month after this many years and be like, oh my gosh, I totally must have forgotten to pay our mortgage, because there's no way there should be money left. And so praise God, it wasn't a mistake. We've actually been able to make a little headway. So those are just some ways to think about prayer and how God answers prayer. But his prayer was that whole idea of teaching, you know, giving somebody a fish and teaching them to fish. And I'm glad that he taught me how to manage my money, because in hindsight, in many times he had already kind of thrown us the lifeline, so thrown us the little windfall, and we never learned. So it was time for us to actually roll up our sleeves and learn how to manage money and have that prayer answered, that it would be the best for us and our marriage. Like for me and in my soul, I mean, my soul was not in a good place if every single day I was lying to the one person in my life that I love the absolute most and who is my soulmate, right? We're responsible for getting each other's soul into heaven. And here I was lying to him every single day. So it was a beautiful moment in our marriage. It's never been better. Our marriage has never been stronger. And I'm glad God didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted him to, because it would have continued to allow me to live in sin and a lie and never be free. God, right? Jesus says, I come to make you free. Whoever the sun sets free, the scripture says, is free indeed. And now I feel very free, except for I'd like to be debt free. But apparently I have a little bit more work to do on that. So then let's talk a little bit about the next two, sacrament and scripture. And I've talked about scripture, you know, and I did a whole little video, if you can find it in the videos, over on Reconcile to You. If you're listening to this, I have YouTube. It's on my Reconcile to You YouTube and my Reconcile to You Facebook and website. Send me a message, I'll send you the video. So I just shared a little bit about a new Bible I just got, and what I really loved about this Bible, it's a note-taking Bible from Ivory Maria Press, was that I decided, since it was a brand new, fresh Bible, that for the next year, every single time I opened it and read a scripture passage, whatever it was, I was going to mark it in some way. Because I'm just curious to see, at the end of the year, how many times God has spoken to me through his word, and how many scriptures I can encounter, how many different ways and times I can encounter Christ. So I'm kind of excited about that. Yes, I'm writing in the Bible and I'm happy about it. I've been writing in my Bibles for years. I have many of them, most of them falling apart from my time in them, writing in them, trying to balance them in a journal and a book at the same time, usually in adoration. They're all kind of mingled, but they're well-worn. And a well-worn Bible is a good thing. It is a blessing, because that's how many times and how many ways you have encountered Christ in your life. And once you encounter Christ, you're never the same again, ever. Every encounter with Christ leaves you a little bit more graced. It leaves you a little bit closer to him. It leaves you a different person, even in the most minute way. And that is truly a blessing. You don't want to, every time you pray, every time you participate in the sacraments, every time you read scripture, you never leave those experiences the same person. And what a blessing that is. How crazy beautiful is that? And then the third thing is the sacraments. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the sacraments in the days to come, weeks to come, as well as part of this series of why be Catholic? What is interesting about the Catholic Church? Why do I care? Why would I want to hold on to this when so many are walking away? And there's so many things that, you know, people can point at and have trouble with, but I don't want to look at the structure and how we can argue one way or the other. I want to focus on the beauty of the Catholic Church. I want to focus on what Jesus established and what he's offering us through the Catholic Church, the sacraments, the sacramentals. We've been talking a lot about those in the weeks to come, about the prayer, about scripture, and the scriptures that, yes, other faiths have scriptures, but they don't have all the scriptures that we have. So to talk about all of the scriptures and just to have this beautiful conversation about the beauty and the power and the blessings of being Catholic. Now, the sacraments, take advantage of your baptism every single day by just calling upon the Lord, remembering that in your baptism, you became his child, his adopted daughter or son, and to take a full, beautiful advantage of what it means to be a daughter or son of God. Like, that is pretty amazing, to call on him, to pray, to ask for an outpouring of blessings and graces in your life, to participate when you can in the sacrament of reconciliation, which is the sacrament of healing, to go and to bring those burdens, to have them lifted, to have your soul cleaned as white as snow. How beautiful a thought that is. And of course, the Eucharist, to come back now into communion with Christ, to be with him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And I know that many places are lifting this dispensation. Hopefully they will see more and more opportunities to safely spend time with the Lord in Mass to receive communion, because it's been a blessing that we've lived in a time of virtual reality where we can spend time watching the Mass and not being completely separated from our church family. But really, we're called in communion together. And what happens in that building, on that altar before us, is mystical and beautiful. And it doesn't happen anyplace else. So we really want to try and prayerfully get back to in person as soon as we possibly can. And of course, there's the other sacraments that we could talk about again. I'm going to keep saying, we'll talk about that later. But I really want to keep my podcast to 20 minutes, and I've already reached that. So with all of that being said, I'm going to thank you so much for spending this time with me today. I'm going to ask the Lord to bless each and every one of you as you go upon your day. I hope you will continue each week to come back and look for the new episode of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. You have been listening to today, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, which is distributed through Breadbox Media and recorded live on Reconcile to You on Facebook. God bless and thank you.